Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
What is happening, guys? Happy Tuesday, except for Troy, who gets another silver medal. But you know what? I want to thank you guys because you're joining another special episode of Your Welcome. And you know what, guys? I have got a tremendous docket for you today. And I'm doing this in the spirit of the U.S. holiday that so many good men and women have earned. I am not one of them. I don't work. But for those of you that do labor, I do appreciate it. And coming up on today's show, how rich is John Jones? I'm going to tell you. Plus, I'm going to talk about Alex Volkanovsky's future, and I'm going to tell you why NASA is quite possibly useless. Let's get into that. Let's begin with the view that I have on one of the biggest news stories in the world. Fly me to the moon. Did you guys watch this? And this is Channing Tatum. I'm a Channing Tatum fan. I'm a Channing Tatum fan because of Chung Lee, who brought Channing Tatum to events. Like, Channing was getting by, he was, you know, supporting the fights. Turned out he was buddies with Chung Lee, and when Chung stopped fighting, we quit seeing Channing Tatum either way. I was on board. You know, I was going to double him, by the way? I was going to double Channing Tatum in a movie. I got called from a gentleman in New York who was a stunt coordinator. And he's, hey, there's movie coming out, Channing Tatum. You're his stunt double. Here's the thing. You don't want to be put in a wig every day. Trust me. It's hot. It's a mess. You'll be uncomfortable. Grow your hair out. Start growing your hair out. I start growing my hair out. You know, I was working. I was in real estate back then. I mean, you know, I kind of doing my thing. I'm on camera trying to come for you guys. And now I'm breaking my own number one rule, which is I'm looking different today than I used to. Like the guy that goes out and he bleaches his hair before he's over with you guys. He didn't just help himself get over. He just confused you to who he is. Or the guy that goes and fights and then puts glasses on before he goes to the press conference. Before he's over. So now he hasn't helped get himself over. He just confused you with who he is. Now I'm doing that very thing. I'm growing my hair out. And boy, it was 2 weeks. But 2 weeks turns into 2 months. Oh, and by the way, in these 2 months, I'm getting some pretty big asks from the gentleman that's getting me the role with Channing Tatum. I mean, I got to tell you, I'm doing some favors. I'm making some calls. I got Dana's helping out and getting me tickets to this event. Like there was things that were leaned on me, but it was working because doing this Channing Tatum movie. This guy's getting it for me. Essentially, that would make him my boss. And you got to understand, it was like $800 a day. And I might be able to get a month's work on this. That would be such a massive, impactful financial win in Chael's life in 2006. And boy, another couple of months go by. And I keep getting these asked and I keep doing it. Now, at this point, I'm no longer growing my hair out. It's as simple as, yep, growing the hair out. It's one of these things. And before you know it, not only was that movie made, not only was that movie on the shelves, which at that time was Hollywood and Blockbuster Video, I had rented it, seen it, and returned it. And it takes a long time. From the time a movie is made, it takes a while before it gets to the theaters. It sits in the theaters for a meaningful amount of time before it gets to the shelves at the rental store. All of these things are happening. I'm now face to face. I'm in New York. I'm face to face with the guy. And he yells at me. Says, you didn't grow your hair out like I told you to. We're having some meal somewhere. He pushes the check over to me. You're paying for this and you don't listen to me. And this was like the 10th. And this has cost me thousands of dollars trying to get this job. I very calmly said, it's about 2 a.m. I just fought in Bodog. Fought Amar Sulayev. It's my first top 10 win. Out celebrating at Denny's. And I said to him, not only is that movie already filmed, it's already been released, it's already on the shelves. As a matter of fact, I rented it. And he folded. He folded right there and started laughing. He goes, well, I'm busted. And I let it slide. That is where we were. He said, well, I'm busted. And I let it slide. That's my Channing Tatum story. So even though I don't know Channing, I lived a part of my life thinking Channing knew me and wanted me to come in and double him on a movie. So I go watch this film. And it's a film meant to be a satire based around the concept that we, the United States, filmed the moon landing. That the moon landing is a farce. And a conspiracy can be very fun. Now, it's much like pro wrestling. Or watching a movie, for that matter. There's a part of you where you must suspend reality. But if you can suspend reality, boy, you can get convinced. You can really go down some roads and, hey, there's a shadow over here. And it looks like a guy's got a camera there. And Nixon called from a landline to an astronaut on the moon, a landline. It starts getting interesting. As long as you suspend reality and let yourself go down this road. Not to mention in 1969, we would have had a very clear motivation for lying. Which is we were in a space race against the Russians. So, in the world of warfare, we lie on a daily basis. So do they. And if you can get your lies believed, it's no different than the bully that you used to have to deal with in the fifth grade. You never actually fought the guy. And you never actually saw the guy fight anybody else. But he was the bully and everybody stayed away from him. He put on an act. He put on the act. Or he'd come in and he'd tell you. He'd tell you about some scrap he got in over the weekend. He would lie. So our military, of course we do those things. We try to scare. We try to intimidate. That would just be a massive whopper. But I would at least understand the motivation for filming the landing and lying. Can we all agree? Okay. So save that thought because we got two astronauts in space right now. They're at the International Space Station. And they can't come down. And NASA is the ones that sent them up. Now, I have my own personal problems with NASA. When I am president, they will be brought in and they will need to explain and justify their existence. They will need to explain and justify what we have in this world because of them and what directions they're even heading in, even in a world of fantasy. Like Elon Musk is trying to occupy Mars, and whether you get there or not, he's got this vision. I want to hear what their dream even is and why they exist. But save that thought. They put two astronauts up in the space station and they can't get them down. Those are real people with real families. That for me would be horrifying. I am afraid of heights to a degree. So I could only imagine being stuck in space. Not to mention, you don't fully understand how those dimensions work. Like down here on Earth, we human beings only understand this world in 4 dimensions. But they say that a dog could have 5 dimensions. And many people do theorize that we've got six dimensions or more. And I share that with you because we don't know the rules in space where you don't have gravity. Just for example, like let's say that you fell out of one of these. Let's say you fell out of the rocket. Somehow you got out and you're floating in space. You're literally floating. You would think, well, you would die. You would instantly die. But you don't know that. Well, sure, I do, Chael. They don't have oxygen up there. You don't know that you need oxygen up there. Do you see where it gets confusing? You didn't know that you couldn't get oxygen underwater until you stuck your head in there. Okay, great. Well, when's the last time you went to space and tried to get a breath of air? Well, you don't have any food, Chael. You'd quickly starve to death. Well, how do you know you need food? How do you know that your body metabolizes? How do you know these things? There is theories out there where you would float endlessly forever. I don't support those, and that kind of defies logic. I'm sharing to you, for a guy like me that's scared of heights, like this would be an ultimate fear, not to mention an inconvenience. You got a man and a woman who are married, but not to each other, up in space, and you don't know when you're going to get them down. Now, they've picked an arbitrary number of February, but the number February is arbitrary for one reason. They've now hired Elon Musk to get these guys back. The day they announced February, they hadn't hired Musk. Relevance being, they would have no idea when they could get them back. They just bought themselves, in the court of public opinion, 6 months. And there is a rule in life that however much time you have to do something is how much time it will take to do something. Like, there's that rule in life. So now that they've told us February, just by example, you can be assured that you can break their plate for Thanksgiving. They won't be home in November. But it's one of these things, and then particularly when you're dealing with government, it will never be ahead of time. And I'm only sharing with you, how did this happen? How did we get there? Why is it that NASA can't get them down? When I tell you that I would bring them in, I would like them to justify what it is that they have done. There might be a beautiful answer, by the way. I would just like them to say what it is. So now you're going to a situation where you've got to go bring in a private entity who said he can get them down. And if anyone can, you went to the right guy, right? There is a Tesla on its way to Mars right now. But he's never done it before. He doesn't actually know he could get them down. Doesn't actually know how to get them down. Just believes that he can find a way and he's got the right team. And he's got the right materials. By the way, you got him a hell of a long time, 6 months. But it's a very tough situation. And the reason I marry these two together, right? The Channing Tatum in the movie, the reason I marry these two together is I have heard people say that it's not real. It isn't happening. And that is the part that would confuse me. Like in 1969, we're trying to battle the Russians and it was militaristic. It wasn't a battle for space. You're arguing space as a way of flexing your military. There would be good motivation to lie. But this would be the opposite. You're making yourself a fool. Right? You're not only looking like a fool, you're openly saying we can't do it. We're never going to be able to do it. So what we've done is called somebody else that say they can do it. We have no idea if they can, neither does he. But he said that he can, and we're to the point where we're saying we cannot. And there'd be no motivation to do that. But there again is where you have the opportunity. The Chinese should have come in instantly and made a claim that they could get them back. The Russians should have already made this claim to the world. We can get them down. We contacted the U.S. and offered to get them down. They turned down our support. But nobody did that. It's a very interesting thing, and it's hard to believe that they wouldn't do that. In the vein of an idea of something that was lied about from the beginning. And it's just a fascinating topic, in my opinion. It's very horrific. And before we go here and point fingers like Chael's getting ready to do, let's get them back. And if there's any chance that they see this, right? Is there any kind of a feed up there? Do they get any level of entertainment besides trying to figure out how I sleep over here and you sleep over here for the next 6 months? If there's a chance that they see this, I would like them to know we're thinking about them. Dustin Poirier, guys, is this on? Is this on or not? I got news. I've got a great source. You don't usually reveal your source, but mine's great. Adam Felters, this guy, I have enjoyed my friendship with him as a pen pal. I get nothing from him that isn't right. And he's the one that told me. I wrote him instantly. I said, hey, what's your source? And he goes, well, I'm telling you the fight's happening. I didn't speak to these guys, but the fight's happening. Okay, hey, that's good enough for me. I go online. I can't find it. And later, 10 hours, I did find it. I did find it, but I also know there was a misprint somewhere in there because it said headliner. Headliner. It actually said that. Now, first off, the UFC doesn't use that term. They use the term main event. They use the term co-main event. They use the term main card. They don't use the term headliner. Now, I love the fight, and the fight also makes sense, but I know it's not the main event because it's on the Madison Square Garden card in November. Anders versus Weidman got added to that, by the way. You want to talk about a brawl? You're going to get one there. Save that thought. Another time. So, is Colby and Dustin happening? And by the way, if it is, I believe that is one of those fights that they would make five rounds. I believe that. I believe both guys would want that. I believe the fans would want that. I believe the UFC for what they're going to have to pay to get that. Not to mention, I mean, that's Dustin Poirier's final. Colby has never spoken those terms. Never, not once has he ever talked about the light at the end of the tunnel dimming. But he also does not do without putting up every piece of resistance he can, anything but title fights. This is different. This is different. This is huge. This is going to bring in media. This is going to bring in attention. There's a real personal beef here. And this fight needs to happen. Like, if these guys, I can't imagine either one of them would turn this down. I have a really hard time imagining that they're going to fight. I mean, do you ever get that way? Where a fight is so, it's so good, you feel like you're getting false information. Randy Couture versus Vitor Belfort, part one. And this is back in the 90s. My entire wrestling team drove from Eugene, Oregon, which is just over 2 hours away, to my parents' house because my parents had a satellite dish. My mom made everyone dinner. The entire team took 5 and 6 cars to jump on the road and drive 2 hours just to watch this fight. And you know what? We did not believe when we scheduled the party, when we made the drive, that it would happen. It was like one of these too good to be true. And Randy was very different for us, I should add. He was the coach at Oregon State right up the road. So this was like a ultra exciting thing. And when I look at Dustin and I look at Colby, as hard of a time as I would think that they're going to find each other, I mean, and they both put the mouth to each other. Like, these guys went at it pretty good. And there is a real story here that is ever bit Colby versus Masvidal. Everything that ever had to do with Colby and Masvidal involved Poirier. If you guys know that, then you're with me, but I'm sharing. If you don't, you're going to find out. However, they were different weights. Like, I would not blame Dustin in the least for not wanting to go up to 170, not to mention if it is going to be his last fight, which he has said. That is a long and painful evening. And to take a risk like that on your last fight, going into a different weight class, I mean, there's just a lot on it. But I couldn't imagine Dustin getting that phone call and him saying no. I can't picture that at all. I can't picture Colby saying no. I have just as a hard time as seeing them both say yes. Like, that's a weird thing. Dustin was only fighting for championships. Covington only fights for championships. These guys are now going into a non-contendership, non-championship match. Like, this is straight up personal grudge. I'm here to ask you guys, is it happening? I got two different reports. And the one that I had that looks like artwork put out by the organization used the word headliner. But I was either at Bloody Elbow or I was at MMA Mania. You can't trust. Jesse Holland works for one of those guys. Like, you can't trust anything that you get. It's got to be vetted beyond that. It requires further research. I'm coming to you. I'm coming to the Eagles. Is there another show in New York? Is that what I've got wrong? Are they going to New York twice in November? That can't be. But it's one possibility. Has the UFC gone to a new vernacular of headliner? I don't think so. is Poirier and Dustin fighting on that card? Because I've heard such incredible things about the card, but man, that spices that card in ways. Oh my goodness. I was out there a couple of years ago. Well, in fact, it was Colby. It was Colby versus Kamara part two, but they put a brawl on that card. It was Michael Chandler versus Justin Gaethje. Oh my goodness. Was this ever a brawl? Then you had Rose versus Wei Li that was this added treat. All I'm suggesting for you, if that fight and the other rumors that we're hearing about Madison Square Garden are in fact all on the same card, I mean, you're talking about one of the great cards ever. Because there's another title fight offered, and now I'm wondering if you guys have been told that or if I got inside scoop. So I'm leaving that out. Do you guys know about the other title fight that's being offered that night? Or at least discussed on top of Jones? Stipe? All right. I'm not positive you do. And I really do want to know if that match is going to happen. I would imagine that it's going to be 5 rounds. I don't want that. I don't even agree with that. But I would predict for you that that is. I don't think you can have this much hype and then have either guy flinch, which I haven't noticed. I have not heard either guy deny and say that's not true. But I also haven't heard them confirm it. I haven't heard their trainers. I haven't heard their managers. I know that you guys want that match. So, at a minimum, we have a very blundered fight announcement, at a minimum. And how would we get to that? Are tickets on sale for New York? I don't think so. I don't think there's any tickets for that far out in November, which would mean the UFC didn't make this announcement, which would mean somebody slipped it out. But whoever slipped it out didn't slip it out with accurate artwork. Like, remember when T-Mobile put up Jones versus Ciryl Gane? But it was very hard to deny because it looked beautiful. And you could tell they went to a lot of work just to have that digitally built in the program to post that on the side of the wall in the first place. This is a little different. It used the word headliner. That is not a word the UFC uses. And I cannot get strict confirmation on this match. And I'm usually the one that, you know what? Hey, Siri, text Dustin Poirier. Are you fighting Colby in November? Send. Hey Siri, text Colby. Are you fighting Poirier in November? Why is Uncle Chael having to find out from the internet and not from you? ? Hope you're well. Period. Send. I'll find out. You guys let me know what you think. I'll get back to you with the answer. Wrote this great piece, and he was just updating everybody on the round robin. The three players, Rachmaninoff, never been world champion, most impressive record. Would you rather be Rachmaninoff, 18-0 all finishes, or would you rather be Usman, which isn't unblemished, but world champion? Or would you rather be Blahl, also not unblemished, but reigning world champion? I mean, which would you rather be? It's not the world's easiest question, right? Like 18-0 all finishes, you're going to be remembered. So when Harkness is writing this piece, he's bringing around that Blahal would like Kamaru Usman to face Rachmaninoff to find out a real and true number one contender. That is Blahal's words. And Blahal is on trial, by the way. He's knee-deep in paperwork and legal fees. There's a gentleman in England, it's an international trial, so hold to this. There's a gentleman in England named Leon Edwards that's accusing Blahal of jumping him, of beating him up and stealing his gold. He's got like it was a golden belt and he took it. And it's a whole thing, but apparently there's video footage and there's witnesses. It's a whole thing. And so Blahal's jammed up in that, trying to get the Sugar State Athletic Commission involved. I don't want to go down that road. Here's the thing. How ridiculous, right? That's fun, though. That is so ridiculous, and it's funny. You know what it does? It brings Leon back in. It's very strange that we are in a threesome here. It is very strange that we are in a threesome, one of which, my favorite pick, being Kamaru Usman, has two losses to Leon, who is not part of the threesome. It's a very interesting thing, and that's only because Leon didn't know how. Leon is just not equipped with that skill. He's just not. So, if he was, he'd hold the damn trial, he'd bring the jury forward, he'd even bring the judge forward that made a ruling in his favor, and he would take his belt back. I mean, right, like, but he's just not equipped with this. So, I like the idea of Kamaru Usman versus Blahal. Now, I like that. I was also under the impression that Rakhmonov was hurt. I was told that he was hurt. I know for sure the UFC did not like his fight against Wonder Boy. I did like it. And he got a finish over a guy that I really respect. And he did it. I'm talking Rakhmonov on one foot. I do think that would qualify you for a world title. But I can just share with you that I know the UFC did not at one point. And nothing has changed since that point. So it is a live dog to be discussing Kamar in that situation. And Ryan doesn't say this perfectly clear, but he gives you the evidence to come to the conclusion that Blahal is doing exactly what he should be doing, which is trying to get an easier fight than a harder fight. So you put these two in there. You put these two knuckleheads, Kamaru Usman and Rakhmonov in there. They're not coming out the same. And whoever wins, by the way, doesn't come out better. This isn't like soccer, where you get the more games you get, the more time on the field, more times kicking at the goalie, the better you get. It's not like that in fighting. You get worse. You get a little duller. You leave a little piece of yourself out there. You start to learn that your naiveness goes away. Your vulnerabilities start to show. You were never worried about having that kind of pain while dealing with that kind of exhaustion because you never had before. Now you've discovered it, right? It's an interesting thing. And Blahal is right on the money to try to put those two guys together. And it's a different spot. First off, Blahal's got a trial going on. And second, Kamara called for Rakhmonov. Rakhmonov accepted the call from Kamara. Now those two are acting like they did not do that. Because they're realizing, hey, I don't have to go through you. I can go straight to him, which is correct. They were a dollar short and a day late. That's okay. They still got there, but I'm just sharing the scenario, right? It's not quite the same. Blahal turning it down, it's not quite the same. Remember when Strickland had to do this? Strickland is supposed to take on the winner of Kamaru Usman and Chimaev. And Strickland's looking around going, that's not right. Like, Kamara, if I get in there with Kamara, he'll have one fight in this division and became a number one contender. I had to have nine fights in the division. And as far as Chimaev goes, and right, I mean, and Strickland was laying this out, but his final analysis is, I will do it. I don't agree with it. I don't think it's right. I'll do it, though. Chimaev ended up having the injured hand, and Duplessis comes in. And what I'm just sharing for you is you can do the same thing as somebody else but get a different result. It matters the order. The order of this. If Blahal had turned it down from Jump Street, it's totally different than those two guys going after each other and starting that. And getting a lot of us interested. Because, see, if you do it Blahal's way, you get two fights. If you do it their way, you get one. Like, I love the idea of Usman versus Rakhmonov. But if Rakhmonov draws into Blahal and doesn't win, or Usman draws into Blahal and doesn't win, then that fight between Usman and Rakhmonov never takes place. If you do it Blahal's way, you're guaranteed two fights. You just don't know who it's going to be against. You've got the right three guys. They're going to fight. Winner draws into this. You're guaranteed both of those fights. To get both of the fights in the other scenario would be outcome-based. This way, outcomes don't matter. And I'm only sharing that there's a conversation, right? There's a very meaningful thing here. I don't think that Rakhmonov or Kamaru Usman should come off this idea. I don't think they're going to fight each other. I think one of them is going to get the Muhammad fight. If you listen to Ryan Harkness, the wind is blowing fairly heavily in the direction of Rakhmonov, as in like 100%. That the UFC isn't really weighing options here. They want Rakhmonov. If you listen to Rakhmonov, he claims that he was offered Muhammad, but he claimed this in a very light way. Like, he set it down partway through an interview. Whereas if that in fact happened, that should have been his driving force. It should be the entire reason he called Danny and said, get me an interview. I need to get this message out. And it wasn't that way. So I'm into the whole thing. I like the whole trilogy. But if we're in agreeance that it's these three guys, if we're not in agreeance to that, then say your piece now. Because if we are in agreeance, then the guy that isn't chosen, if we are in fact down to three, that guy defaults to the number one contender. Which would mean Kamaru Usman, without a fight, those two go fight, Kamaru takes on the winner. And I think it's important that he drive that home. And I don't think there's a 70-pounder out there right now that is going to come in and steal that thunder. The only one that could, by the numbers, is Leon. And Leon is just not equipped with that. He's just not. So I want Kamaru to be ready. I mean, they got two choices with Kamaru. And he needs to make this perfectly clear that his next fight is for the belt. He doesn't know if he's going to go in with Blahal right away or if it's going to be the winner of Blahal and Rakhmonov, and he's got to let that play out, but that it's very clear we're down to three. I'll go in now, I'll go in later, I'll go with this guy, but he needs to make that very clear. And I think that it would be obvious for Rakhmonov if Kamaru was to draw the fight. I think we would all agree Rakhmonov is going to be next. The same respect has to be showed for Kamaru, unless you don't believe he's in the three. But if you don't believe he's in the three, you got to say it now, you can't say it later. Are you with me on this? Can I get a hell yeah? Any athlete who competes at the highest level will tell you the importance of having a great team. Even in individual sports like boxing, wrestling, MMA, there is always a team of coaches and training partner who helped you get to the top. Think about Simone. Think about Serene. Think about Tiger. Think about Mike Tyson, Mayweather. They all have a coach. And the same thing goes with business. You need a solid team of trusted and knowledgeable people to help you advance if you're in the e-commerce business. Let Shopify be that teammate that helps you level up. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going through. Businesses that sell more, sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/chale, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/chale, like the famous gangster, to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/chale. Men, when we leave the house, it's phone, wallet, keys, and how does my hair look? But if you're experiencing hair loss like the majority of the male population does, you may not be so confident when you step outside your door. It's time to get that confidence back and restore your hair with Hims. Hims provides access to a range of hair loss treatments that actually work, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted treatment options and clinically proven ingredients that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. They offer personalized, chewable oral spray and serum treatment options so you can find what works best for you. Reaching out for help in this area can feel a bit embarrassing, but Hims has made this process so dignified and simple. All you have to do is answer a few questions online and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to your door. No in-person visits to the doctor or pharmacy are needed. The whole process is 100% online. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, so if you feel like you're losing a part of yourself with your hair loss, get Hims and get that confidence back. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/chale. That's Hims. HIMS.com/chale, like the famous gangster. For your personalized hair loss treatment options, HIMS.com/chale. Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Volkanovski, guys, what do we do now? What do we do now? Because we have a say in it. Not only can we influence the markets, he's listening, right? He wants big fights. He's saying that he wants championship matches. And that would be the psychology of somebody as great as Volk. He's not going to be able to see any other way. Championship, not to mention he had it, not to mention he wants it back, not to mention the last three Volkanovski fights, all of which he lost. If you don't know the story there and you don't know the circumstances and what happened, you are going to be wildly confused. It is the most deceptive three losses in UFC history, right? You're going to see a guy who got knocked out twice and he lost three, man. He's done. Had a chance for this championship and a chance for this championship and he blew them both and that's it. Whoa, that is not what happened at all. First off, the first fight that he lost, a lot of people thought he won. One of the judges thought that he won with Islam. I mean, just for example. Now, that's not right. The judges had it right, and Islam beat him. But I only turn to that piece of revisionist history. Like if you make believe he can't go with these guys, he can't compete with them. As a matter of fact, you saw this fight right here in Abu Dhabi. He got knocked out by the guy. It's like, no, hold on. Hold on. That knockout actually is the one that you got to erase. Not the first fight. The knockout, you got to erase. We know that Volk can go with that guy. We know Volk can compete at that weight class. We know that Volk could win a championship at 155 pounds. And it's not like we need a whole bunch of caveats, right? There's a ton of guys that could be world champion if, and that if just doesn't happen. That if isn't very realistic. But what does Volk need based on the evidence we have? Not on liking Volkanovski, not being unbiased or trying to show respect to him, just on the evidence that we had. What does Volk need to beat Islam? What does Volk need to be the champion of the world at 155 pounds? Well, a training camp. Yeah, training camp. Now, in that training camp, there was a couple of moving parts. And first and foremost was a changing of his physiology. Volk did not make a big enough deal about changing in his eating habits, because it's fascinating. It's a very fascinating thing. You are not going to be able to find the average man that can put on 10 pounds the right way in that amount of time, but moreover, with the amount of training that Volk has to do, it's very difficult to gain weight in the first place. It's very difficult to gain nothing but lean weight. It's almost impossible, to the point that I cannot tell you in my lifetime of doing it another person that has done it. I've only seen Volk do it. Where the 10 pounds you put on is good 10 pounds. I'm so curious about Stipe, by the way, because I know Stipe's over 250 now. And I'm told he did it the Volk way. But calories in versus calories out is just science. So if you're Volk and you're training at extremely high intensity for 3 hours a day, it's probably a little bit less than that, but about 3 hours a day. Most weeks, 6 days a week. To have enough time in the day to find the calories that you could eat just to cover the spread of those 3 hours is difficult, let alone to find an ability to be in a surplus. It was just an interesting thing. And Volk had company working with him, and he had the prepackaged food. It was just interesting. He didn't make enough about it. But I tell you that because his body didn't even look the same. Now, I know we took it on 8 days' notice. I just don't contend that he was out of shape and didn't have time in those 8 days' notice. I don't contend that. I contend you're forgetting that isn't his weight class. You're forgetting he doesn't fight at that weight class. He's never won at that weight class. Now, he'd only done one match, but I'm sharing with you, like, the weight is the thing that was different. And if a guy has confidence going into a fight, we will present it to you. We talking heads like me will present it to you that he's got more experience and better footwork and he's stronger and he's faster and his jab is cleaner. We'll explain that to you because it's the only way we can fill time. The truth that we don't ever bring up because it's too quick. We want to have jobs. The truth, when a guy has a confidence going into a fight, all it means is he believes he is in better shape than the other guy. That when you start pushing, when this turns into a tough guy contest, which happens about 4 minutes in, the athleticism's for sure done in the first round, but it's done in the first few minutes oftentimes. When push comes to shove in a worst case scenario, which is I got up to 25 minutes that I need to protect myself at all times, not from somebody trying to score on me, from somebody trying to damage me. It's a very different thing. And when you heard Volk going into that fight, and you didn't hear him much, man, he only had 8 days. You didn't hear him much, but if you know Volk and you followed Volk's career, and I have closely, it was not the same guy. It was a guy that was a competitor. It was a guy that saw an opportunity. It was a guy that wanted that match. It was a guy who would take all the risks and all the negatives he had just to have the opportunity, but it wasn't fully confident. He knew. And the greats know because they've been there. They know what it takes to be there. They know what it takes. Volk knew. I have never been the best in the world. I have never been the winner of the main event. I have never been a championship guy with an 8-day camp. And it was 8 days till they were in the ring. By the way, one of those days was weighing day. Now all of a sudden you're down to 7. One of those days he's got to travel to get there. Now you're down to 6. But right, you're talking about Volk having 4 workouts, 5 workouts. A minimum of one of those was on a treadmill at the hotel. I mean, I'm just sharing, like, there's reasons that he would have been apprehensive. And that's what gets you knocked out. Again, people would love to tell you that once a guy gets knocked out, his chin goes and he's never the same. Not so fast. And all that science of the chin and this elongates and then this swells and this gets, and it's a tender thing, your chin. None of it is true. I don't even know why they bring it up. There is no truth to any of that. When a guy is apprehensive, when he's worried that his conditioning can't hold up, so he finds ways to save it, finds ways to preserve, all of a sudden he fights differently. And all of a sudden he slows down just a little bit. So now when you're going into Volk's third match, now he's coming off every terrible thing you can. He got drawn into a guy who got to that spot unlike any other opponent, which is not through Max. No one else got to a 145-pound title fight in the last half a decade if it didn't go through Holloway. So now you don't totally know what you're getting into here. Like we didn't totally know just how good Ilya was. We didn't quite understand how clean that boxing was, and I'm just sharing with you, so find yourself in a fight. It's harder than you thought it was going to be. By the way, if you look at the record, you think, oh, Volk doesn't have any more. They had completed one round. Volk won the round. Volk was winning the fight. It's not a matter of could he beat Topuria. He already did 4 rounds. Now he's got to get 2 more of those, mathematically speaking. So to act as though we don't know if he can do something, he already did it. He's got to repeat it, but he's already done it. I'm just sharing. So now you've got the apprehensiveness. Now you've got the slowing down. Now you've got that you're the guy where the world finds out how good that guy is at counterboxing, which we simply didn't know. Like, there was just a lot on it. If you go and look at Volk's record, you're going to be wildly, wildly misled as to what happened in the last 2 years of his career. But Volk still wants to come back. Where do we want to put him? I certainly would never disrespect him, and I don't believe the UFC would. If he came in and said, no, I'm title shot guy, that's it, I believe they would say, okay. And even if they have a plan there, they might go through with the plan, and Volk, if you're patient, but yeah, your next fight could be for a title. But he's not wanting to fight anybody specific. Like, he's not dying to go in there and fight Ilya. He's not dying to go in there and fight Max. He just wants the title back. That is a different motivation. I won't question it. Each guy ticks to the beat of a different drum. I'm speaking for me as a fan. I would rather a match, a specific match. You want to know what I want for Volk? And I don't want to just come off this championship idea because he deserves it. I don't question that in the least. I want him at 55. And I don't want to talk about titles right now. I want to see an awesome match. I want to see Volk and Charles Oliveira at 155 pounds. There. I started this piece 10 minutes and 12 seconds ago asking you guys, what would you like to see for Volk next? I want to hear from you. Leave me a comment. I read them all. But I'll go first. I want to see Volk at 155 pounds where I know that all of his training and effort is going into the event. Not into making the weight. Small detail, but it matters to me. Taking on Charles, who used to be at 145 and is doing the same thing, going at 55. Used to be champion, he's doing the same thing. He's trying to pursue it. There's a lot of risk on that fight. And that's the one that I want to see. I also think outcome-wise, I think you land in a higher spot, whether you beat Charles or you don't beat Charles. You go into a championship spot and you get beat, that will never return. That hope and dream is gone forever. Forever. There's not a 36-year-old that is returning to even be given the opportunity. It's to the point where unless you want to be a gatekeeper of some regard, here's your walking papers. It would be that severe in a title fight, and that just would not be the case at 155 versus Charles. Argue with me if you will, but I'm going to start us off there. Volk versus Oliveira, what do you think? Rich is John Jones. I've always wondered that, and I know that you guys give it some thought too, right? I mean, like, when John's talking about retiring, as much as money is none of our business, and as uncomfortable as that can be to discuss, it's kind of relevant, isn't it? I don't believe John is going to retire after Stipe. Like, there's no part of me that believes that, but I also don't believe he's going to stick around with his dying urge to fight with Tom Aspinall or Pereira, should he come up, or Francis, or any other name. I think John is not done earning money. That's what I think. I think that is what will keep him and keep him involved, which is why I come to the conclusion that we don't have any concern about a retirement after Stipe. And by the way, I also maintain for you, it wouldn't matter the outcome of that match. Like, a lot of times we go, hey, you know, if they get a win here, they're probably going to retire. Well, if he gets beat, he's probably going to retire. Like, I do not think that that will affect that decision in the least. Now, the reason I bring it up, I know John was arguing with Daniel one time. Remember that video where they were arguing and one of them was going to spit in the face and the other one was going to kill him? Remember that video that surfaced? Somewhere within that, I remember John telling Daniel, I'm caked up. Caked up is an expression. It used to be used more back then. It just means money. I'm caked up. I got a bunch of money. And he said, I'm sitting on 10 mil. And that would have been a very, very big amount of money for an MMA fighter to have back then. I mean, to be sitting on 10 mil, you paid Uncle Sugar his 50%. You gave your manager 10, your trainer 10. I mean, I'm just saying, if you bring in $1 million in MMA in 1 year, you have about 330. And you're going to be a little bit better than that, but not much. That's just MMA math. So to be sitting on $10 million, you're talking about having brought in $30 million. It would have been incredible. Oh, and by the way, when you brought it in, you either invested it properly or you Right? Or you made more than that, and this is what you're doing. It was just a really big statement. That's all I'm sharing with you. Like, these two are being very raw. These two are being very real with each other. When John Jones said, I'm caked up, I'm sitting on 10 mil, I think he had $10 million. I do. I think that. No, but it's only relevant because John had just bought a new house. Bought a new family mansion is the way this was worded, and it was beautiful. Beautiful spread. He's got kids. It's like a backyard that you and I, we would have dreamed of, that John would have dreamed of, swimming pool and privacy and, all right. And one of the most interesting things, and I like that game, by the way, like I like Cribs, that television show. I like getting in and seeing somebody's house, and then if the guy's got a level of celebrity on top of that, like, that's fun. So I'm looking and I'm checking out his new mansion, but one thing that I did notice about it is it was in Albuquerque. And whatever happened with that, by the way? I mean, that was John's home where he was training. Came in from Albany, New York. Spent a little time out at Iowa when he was going through college. Lands in Albuquerque. Which, not for nothing, is a bit of a surprise for the extracurricular fun that John likes to have. No problem with that. This is where the gym was. That was what kept him grounded, right? Thank goodness he was in Albuquerque. I'm just sharing with you. It's a little bit of a surprise. Guy could live anywhere. And when he went through something happened. He ends up being asked to not come back to the gym, which I imagine would sting very badly. And he spent some time at Henry's. I remember when he was going out to Arizona. And I remember he and Prochaska were going to meet there at Henry's. And they were even going to work out together. And just interesting stuff, right? John had left the weight class. Prochaska's coming up. What a great opportunity for Prochaska, who we did not know at that time was going to go and be king, to be able to work out with the former champ. It was just great. Just like everything was going very smooth. But then the more questions you asked, you find out, well, it was a week. It's been a week out there. And I just always wondered where John is training. That is my point. I know he lived in Albuquerque, so he's going to have to make things work. But once you sell your house and you go and buy a new house and you could go anywhere and your profession is fighting, and you're told that you can't come to the top gym in that area, which, by the way, is the one and only thing that brought him there. And I'm just curious, where is he training? And it was Coach Wink. Coach Wink is the one, it was called Jackson Wink. And Coach Wink is the one that came to the conclusion, got to go to another facility. And Coach Jackson had another facility or was going over to the other facility. Like they were finding a way to make all of this work. And I'm just wondering, as time has gone by, did that get dropped? Because I never heard that it did. And by the way, the thing that pushed this over the scale, got Coach Wink to put an arm's distance between John ended up not being guilty on, by the way. Right, there was some media and there was some talk, and when that whole thing came out, there were some people that owed John an apology. Quite possibly he got that apology, and quite possibly he's back in the gym, but I haven't heard that. And John had a few guys around him, real tough guys that you would know, and he was getting workouts in. But to my understanding on that, there was a few tough guys, and they kind of bunched up and, hey, meet every day at 3. I don't know that there was a coach in a formal situation. I also don't know that there wasn't. I don't know a lot about it. I'm genuinely asking those questions. I would imagine if people were invited, anybody in the sport would get on a plane and head out there if they could go get private work with John Jones. I would imagine having those bodies would not be a problem, but at the same time, I haven't heard of them. In fact, the one guy that did go out there was Gordon Ryan. And we heard all about that. We got videos of it. We got stories of it. We got interviews. We got footage of them training. Right? It was great. But I don't hear about it a lot. And I know it's happening. I know he's staying busy. I know he's active. But I will admit, when he bought this new beautiful home and he stayed in Albuquerque, that was a little bit of okay, he's got something out there that he likes. He's able to get this done. And I'm snooping. I'm just purely snooping because I don't know how this story goes. Where? What is the official gym? And who is John's official head coach? Turkey Alashik, I gotta tell you, I have enjoyed watching this guy as a promoter. And you wanna know what a lot of promoters will not do? And businesses aren't sustainable, none of them. You gotta learn from your mistakes. Can we agree on that? You go and do a show, in this case, on a Saturday night. Sunday's off, you get back to the office on Monday. You start talking about, what did I do wrong? It's what every fighter does. Every fighter will get done with the competition and go sit down with his coach. And regardless of outcome, whether it's the outcome you wanted or adverse, you start looking within the performance for things that you could do different. You learn from your mistakes. Conor McGregor made famous an expression, you win or you learn. And though I don't know that he actually takes that with him, the phenomenon is correct. And I saw Alashik over the weekend has changed his pay-per-view prices to $19. Moving forward, they're going to be $19. Now, the first one that I bought each one that he's done for boxing. The first one was Francis and Fury, and I thought I paid $75, $74.99. I thought. If I'm wrong, it's right there. So this change to $19.99, it's very significant. You're talking about a 70% price reduction. And he doesn't have a fight coming up. This is super important that you understand this detail. He does not have a fight. He is not advertising these two guys on a certain date. And by the way, I'm slashing prices. Right there, he would have demoted those guys strongly, and he would have demoted his own product, even if it wasn't his intent. If his intent was just to get this to the consumer at a lower price, the order that you do it is the one that shows your intelligence to what we're doing or you're not. So right now, whatever the next fight is, and the one after that, and the one following that, those guys have not been diminished. As a matter of fact, those guys will now be presented with something that is a lot more attainable. Their pay-per-view numbers are going to be a lot different. And you want to know why Turkey is doing this? To combat piracy. Yeah, to combat piracy. Think of things that you don't steal. You can't if you don't need to, right? The free bin. Have you ever seen the free bin? Well, you can't steal from the free bin. It's free. It would be impossible. And I understand piracy happens, but the extent that they will go to, it is one of the significant differences with the Ultimate Fighting Championship. It never gets talked about and it never gets discussed. But they have built-in infrastructures of security that is light years beyond the competition. The gentleman that jumped in the space just recently for Masvidal and Diaz, just for example, got robbed so bad. And when he was breaking down his numbers, he just simply wasn't aware. Wasn't aware of what could happen through TikTok streams, through other sites, how good the kids are at doing this. I bring that to you because Turkey Alashik said, I'm doing this to combat piracy, that people won't feel a need. They won't have the same motivation to steal because his goal here was not to turn a massive profit. His goal was to bring a massive attention, to bring a massive viewership. And price point is every business's hardest decision. What is the price point? And this isn't a situation of where we can make a bunch of money, where we can go to the consumer and turn them upside down and shake their pockets. You also have a hard time getting somebody to commit to something if you give it away. That's a mistake, and we've seen other people do this too. They've tried to give something away. You can always loosen the reins, guys. You can never retighten them. One of the great business examples, but I was a little kid when this happened. Burger King was convinced the Whopper was the best hamburger on the market. They just wanted people to try the Whopper, and they were convinced if you tried it, you're going to come back. I agree. That is an awesome fast food hamburger. I would always include it with cheese. They made them 99 cents. And here in Oregon, we don't have sales tax. So you want five Whoppers for lunch? Throw down $5. You're going to feed yourself and two of your buddies in the car. Really, really good deal. Now, Burger King was only going to do that for 3 months. They were just going to do it for a three-month promotion. And they did. They changed all the signs and they changed the Whopper back. And it was a totally different price. I want to say it was like $2.89. I mean, it was significantly more than 99 cents. But what had happened is they brought so many new people in. Exactly what their goal was. Exactly what their goal is, to go get new customers to try this. They did, but those new customers didn't understand this was a deal because they were new customers. So when they changed the price from 99 cents back to $2.89, people quit buying Whoppers. They thought they were getting ripped off. Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett bought See's Candy for $80 million. It's now valued at over $1 billion. And when he was going to buy this, it was a very different business. Everything you're doing is storefronts that you're renting. You don't own the property. So you don't have a whole lot of things. You've just got your customers coming in, and his own advisors told him, well, how? What are you going to do? What do you know about candy? Like, what is it that you're going to bring to See's that could possibly up sales? What is it that you even know about this? And Warren said, I know that I'm a customer, and I know that I buy See's twice a year. I buy it around the holiday, and I buy it around Valentine's Day. And he said, the one thing that I noticed on the spreadsheet, the same one that his whole team looked at and said, this is a bad acquisition. He said, the thing that I saw from this spreadsheet that you guys missed is that the sales come in twice a year. The whole rest of the year, you're keeping those doors open to support the holidays and Valentine's Day. They said, yeah. We actually did notice that. What is your point? He said, my point is, I don't believe there's a consumer out there that knows what this candy costs. I believe if you go to a 7-Eleven, a Chevron, a convenience store, and you put a Snickers or a Twix or a Kit Kat up, it's 50 cents in all of them. That's what candy costs. You could go to a vending machine. It's a couple of quarters, and that's what you're going to get. Everybody knows that. He said, I don't think anybody knows what a pound of dark chocolate costs at See's Candy. You're not coming here because our chocolate's better. You're coming here because we wrap it better. That's it. You're coming in here because our box and presentation is better. It's a one-stop shop, and I don't think you know what you're paying. And once you park your car and you walk into the store, you waited in line and you're pot committed, I don't think when I tell you the price, you're going to walk out. And when you do walk out and think, well, that was more than I thought, I don't think it's not that you're not going to come back, because we're still the only place selling candy that wraps it in a beautiful box. That was his entire plan. He was going to take the prices they had and up them 80%. And his whole team said, you can't do that. You can't change the price of something 80%. He said, well, if I did change it 80%, what would I be changing it to? And there wasn't a single person on his team that knew. And he said, that's exactly my point. You don't know what this costs. It's a very big deal when you do price point. Because I have seen other promoters go right to YouTube and give their product away. Go to a sign-up app, which is the hardest thing in the world to get customers to do. Oh, my goodness, the behavior and all the things that you have to do. But you give the product away. That's why they're going to do it. Then over time, once you get them interested, you put up a paywall. And they're already there. You've already done the hard work. That model has never worked. Literal statement. Zero times will you give me an example where that model I just described has worked. So you have this price point issue. What's free? What's too much? Where do I get the consumers? And the fact that Ali Sheikh wanted to reduce piracy first and foremost and bring eyeballs in. I mean, I've just got to tell you, this was great. But the fact that he put this out, not with it attached to a fight, that changes everything. I've seen events, guys. I've seen them 2-for-1, bring a can of food, kids get in free, go to Groupon. I've seen all of these things. If you do that in advance, good for you. If you do it once the product's already on the shelf, regardless of your intent, you're only going to do one thing. You're going to damage, demote, and devalue the brand. This was a great move. I happen to agree with him. That at $20, he is going to reduce piracy. I think it does bring in more eyeballs. I think it does make people more interested. I think the old model of how people watch fights still exists, which is one guy gets the fights, calls his buddies, they order a pizza, and they all go over there. But now all of a sudden, you're all pitching in $5. You're getting the pizza and the show. I like the move. I'm impressed that he came up with it. He had not been in fight promotion very long, and it is a very unique industry. He got this one right. All right, everybody, that's it for today's episode. Thank you for listening. And a big shout out to Big Boy, who left me a review on Apple Podcasts, which reads, easy 5 stars. Hey, Chael, how awesome would it be if Merab walked into the cage on fight night wearing the jacket he stole from Sugar? Oh, my God. Oh, golly. Wow. Wow. Big Boy, I promise you I will get that message out. And you want to know who would like it? Sean. Sean would be into it. But if you'll remember that night, Sean took that coat back. But I still love where your head's at. He could wear it to the presser. He could act like he re-stole it. Hey, that's great stuff. And by the way, I want you guys to know that Big Boy and everybody else can be back on Friday for more. Until then, I'm Chael Sutter. And you are welcome.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Make no mistake, Trump-backed Bernie Moreno was a MAGA mistake for black families in Ohio.
We're not going to replace racism in this country from decades ago with a new form of racism, which is what DEI is.
If Bernie Moreno was elected senator, he will support the MAGA playbook and implement the thinly disguised racist Project 2025 agenda. That means ending diversity, equity, and inclusion programs that exist to correct the impacts of racism. MAGA extremists like Moreno believe programs that have helped our families are entitlement programs, but they have no problem giving their buddies a boost by passing more tax giveaways for rich folks like themselves. Black Americans like me have worked hard and persevered in fighting for a fair shot. We've come too far to let self-serving extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. That's why we must re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. He has fought for equal opportunity for black families and will continue to do so. Go to OhioVoterGuide.org and register by October 7th. Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.